Hello, everyone. In all actuality, this would be my final media episode because I put together all the finishing touches for the wholesome summary of celebrity culture and media. So here we go. The media lacks valuable intellectual traits. The media lacks intellectual humility. I'll give you the definition. Having a consciousness of the limits of one's knowledge, including a sensitivity to circumstances in which one's native egocentrism is likely to function self-deceptively, sensitivity to bias, prejudice, and limitations of one's viewpoint. Intellectual humility depends on recognizing that one should not claim more than one actually knows. It does not imply spinelessness or submissiveness. It implies the lack of intellectual pretentiousness, boastfulness, or conceit, combined with insight into the logical foundations or lack of such foundations of one's beliefs. The media lacks intellectual courage. I'll give you the definition. Having a consciousness of the need to face and fairly address ideas, beliefs, or viewpoints toward which we have strong negative emotions and to which we have not given a serious hearing. This courage is connected with the recognition that ideas considered dangerous or absurd are sometimes rationally justified in whole or in part, and that conclusions and beliefs inculcated in us are sometimes false or misleading. To determine for ourselves which we must not passively and uncritically, quote-unquote, accept what we have, quote-unquote, learned. Intellectual courage comes into play here because inevitably we will come to see some truth in some ideas considered dangerous and absurd, and distortion or falsity in some ideas strongly held in our social group. We need courage to be true to our own thinking in such circumstances. The penalties for nonconformity can be severe. The media lacks intellectual empathy. I'll give you the definition. Having a consciousness of the need to imaginatively put oneself in the place of others in order to genuinely understand them, which requires the consciousness of our egocentric tendency to identify truth with our immediate perceptions of longstanding thought or belief. This trait correlates with the ability to reconstruct accurately the viewpoints and reasoning of others and to reason from premises, assumptions, and ideas other than our own. This trait also correlates with the willingness to remember occasions when we were wrong in the past despite an intense conviction that we were right, and with the ability to imagine our being similarly deceived in a case at hand. The media lacks intellectual autonomy. I'll give you the definition. Having rational control of one's beliefs, values, and inferences. The ideal of critical thinking is to learn to think for oneself to gain command over one's thought processes. It entails a commitment to analyzing and evaluating beliefs on the basis of reason and evidence, to question when it is rational to question, to believe when it is rational to believe, and to conform when it is rational to conform. The media lacks intellectual integrity. I'll give you the definition. Recognition of the need to be true to one's own thinking, to be consistent in the intellectual standards one applies, to hold oneself to the same rigorous standards of evidence and proof to which one holds one's antagonists, to practice what one advocates for others, and to honestly admit discrepancies and inconsistencies in one's own thought and action. The media lacks intellectual perseverance. I'll give you the definition. Having a consciousness of the need to use intellectual insights and truths in spite of difficulties, obstacles, and frustrations. Firm adherence to rational principles despite the irrational opposition of others. A sense of the need to struggle with confusion and unsettled questions over an extended period of time to achieve deeper understanding or insight. The media lacks confidence in reason. I'll give you the definition. Confidence that in the long run, one's own higher interests and those of humankind at large will be best served by giving the freest play to reason, by encouraging people to come to their own conclusions, by developing their own rational faculties, faith that, with proper encouragement and cultivation, people can learn to think for themselves, to form rational viewpoints, draw reasonable conclusions, think coherently, and logically persuade each other by reason to become reasonable persons despite the deep-seated obstacles in the native character of the human mind and in society as we know it. The media lacks fair-mindedness. I'll give you the definition. Having a consciousness of the need to treat all viewpoints alike without reference to one's own feelings or vested interests, or the feelings or vested interest of one's friends, community, or nation, implies adherence to intellectual standards without reference to one's own advantage or the advantage of one's group. So, the media lacks cognitive empathy. Cognitive empathy means that you can understand another person's perspective. It is also referred to as perspective taking or putting yourself in someone else's shoes. The media lacks emotional empathy. Emotional empathy is when you can feel another person's emotions. If you're sitting close to a loved one and they start to cry, for example, you might begin to feel sad too. This is emotional empathy. What they are experiencing emotionally has an impact on emotional state. When we experience emotional empathy, we're moving from the cognitive perspective into a shared emotional experience. Social psychology researchers describe emotional empathy in three parts. So the media is not feeling the same emotion as the other person. The media is not feeling our own distress in response to their pain. The media is not feeling compassion toward the other person. So, in other words, the media is not taking another person's perspective. The media is not imagining what it's like in another person's shoes. The media is not understanding someone's feelings. The media is not sharing an emotional experience. The media is not feeling distress in response to someone's pain. The media is not experiencing a willingness to help someone. The media lacks effective empathy. This type of empathy involves having the ability to understand and share another person's emotions without being emotionally stimulated yourself. The media lacks semantic empathy. This type involves having a physical reaction in response to what someone else is experiencing. For example, if someone feels embarrassed, you may also blush or have an uneasy stomach. And the media lacks compassionate empathy. Compassionate empathy refers to having sympathy or compassion for another person in their circumstances. Some consider this one of the main types of empathy that a person can experience along with cognitive and emotional empathy. When you have compassion and empathy, you not only understand a person's situation, but also seek to improve it so they have a better life. You have an interest in their well-being and will take action so they receive what is morally and ethically fair. So, the media lacks universal intellectual standards. The intellectual standards that are to these elements are used to determine the quality of reasoning. Good critical thinking requires having command of these standards. According to Paul and Elder, 1997 and 2006, the ultimate goal is for the standards of reasoning to become infused in all thinking so as to become the guide to better and better reasoning. The intellectual standards include, and I will get to that, but I want to say this, gullibility is a big problem in terms of media viewership and media consumers. The media has turned into a cult. And I say that because the media doesn't want people to disagree with them on some things because the media is not always right. Sometimes the media is wrong. Sometimes the media is dead wrong. And they don't do enough of correcting the disinformation and misinformation. The media has become Orwellian. Doublespeak. Mob speak. And I'll tell you what Orwellian means. So the media is definitely Orwellian. Orwellian is an adjective describing a situation, idea, or societal condition that George Orwell identified as being destructive to the welfare of a free and open society. A lot of media platforms fit that description. It denotes an attitude and a brutal policy of draconian control by propaganda, surveillance, disinformation, denial of truth, doublethink, and manipulation of the past, including the unperson, a person whose past experience is expunged from the public record and memory practiced by modern repressive governments. So there are a lot of media platforms that also fit these descriptions. And then it made me think that the media engages in a warped cancel culture. Meaning, if you're usually not the type of person that hurts people's feelings, but you may have made a verbal misstep or a literary misstep or a typed misstep, then you're easily canceled, even though the person wasn't trying to hurt anybody's feelings. The person did not know that some language could be interpreted as bigoted, but that person doesn't have a bigot's heart. They may have used slang or colloquialisms and didn't fully understand, because they were never told, how certain language can come off to people. Instead of being quick to cancel those people, some people just need to be educated. If they were educated, they never would have wrote that, typed that, nor spoke that from their lips. So I'm seeing a lot of that in the media. And a lot of times the media has its own permanent war economy. The concept of a permanent war economy originated in 1945 with an article by Ed Sard, alias Frank Denby, Walter S. Oakes, and T.N. Vance, at the theoretician who predicted a post-war arms race. He argued at the time that the United States would retain the character of a war economy. Even in peacetime, U.S. military expenditure would remain large, reducing the percentage of unemployed compared to the 1930s. He extended this analysis to 1950-1951. So, sometimes the media engages as a one-party state. A one-party state, single-party state, one-party system, single-party system is a governance structure in which only a single political party controls the ruling system. All other parties are either outlawed or only enjoy limited and controlled participation in elections. Sometimes the term de facto one-party state is used to describe a dominant party system that, unlike the one-party state, allows at least nominally democratic multi-party elections, but the existing practices or balance of political power effectively prevent the opposition from winning power. You know, And the media sometimes has its own sadistic ritual abuse, because there are reports of some media figures engaging in physical and sexual abuse of people in the context of their own diabolical rituals. The media can be its own global cult at times that includes the wealthy and elite, in which in certain human rights violating parts of the world where the media and the rest of society have children and adults that are adopted or bred for human sacrifices, pornography, and prostitution. We're talking about sexual slavery type pornography, not the typical type that is in America. And we're not talking about the typical prostitution, we're talking about sexual slavery type prostitution. And the human sacrifices are child sacrifices, adult sacrifices, just like the ones in religious texts. Some people in some human rights violating parts of the world have those ancient dehumanizing practices that are still practiced in those parts of the world today. And then you have certain parts of the world, the media can be a police state. A police state describes a state whose government institutions exercise an extreme level of control over civil society and liberties. There is typically little or no distinction between the law and the exercise of political power by the executive, and the deployment of internal security and police forces play a heightened role in governance. A police state is characteristic of authoritarian, totalitarian regimes, dictatorships, and illiberal regimes, contrary to liberal democratic regime. Such governments are typically one-party states with police state-level control may emerge in multi-party systems as well. In the name of world domination, theonomy, theocracy, state religion, state atheism, the media is not what it is in America everywhere else. So the media engages in doublespeak. Doublespeak is language that deliberately obscures, disguises, distorts, or reverses the meaning of words. Doublespeak may take the form of euphemisms, example, downsizing for layoffs is serving the target for bombing. In which case, it is primarily meant to make the truth sound more palatable. It may also refer to intentional ambiguity in language or to actual inversions of meaning. In such cases, doublespeak disguises the nature of the truth. Doublespeak is most closely associated with political language. So, what do I mean when I say the media can be of totalitarianism? Totalitarianism is a form of government and a political system that prohibits all opposition parties, outlaws individual and group opposition to the state and its claims, and exercises an extremely high, if not complete, degree of control and regulation over public and private life. It is regarded as the most extreme and complete form of authoritarianism. In totalitarian states, political power is often held by autocrats, such as dictators, totalitarian dictatorship, who employ all-encompassing campaigns in which propaganda is broadcast by state-controlled mass media in order to control the citizenry. The media can be of autocracy. Autocracy is a system of government in which absolute power is held by the ruler known as an autocrat. It includes most forms of monarchy and dictatorship, while it is contrasted with democracy and feudalism. Various definitions of autocracy exist. They may restrict autocracy to a single individual, or they may also apply autocracy to a group of rulers who wield absolute power. The autocrat has total control over the exercise of civil liberties within the autocracy, choosing under what circumstances they may be exercised, if at all. Governments may also blend elements of autocracy and democracy, forming an anocracy. The concept of autocracy has been recognized in political philosophy since ancient times. the media can be of dictatorships. A dictatorship is an autocratic form of government which is characterized by a leader or a group of leaders who hold governmental power with few to no limitations, usually no limitations. Politics in a dictatorship are controlled by a dictator, and they are facilitated through an inner circle of elites that includes advisors, generals, and other high-ranking officials. The dictator maintains control by influencing and appeasing the inner circle and repressing any opposition, which may include rival political parties, armed resistance, or disloyal members of the dictator's inner circle. Dictatorships can be formed by a military coup that overthrows the previous government through force, or they can be formed by a self-coup in which elected leaders make their rule permanent. Dictatorships are authoritarian and totalitarian, and they can be classified as military dictatorships, one-party dictatorships, personalist dictatorships, or absolute monarchies. The media can be of authoritarianism. Authoritarianism is a political system characterized by the rejection of democracy and political plurality. It involves the use of strong central power to preserve the political status quo and reductions in the rule of law, separation of powers, and democratic voting. Political scientists have created many typologies describing variations of authoritarian forms of government. Authoritarian regimes may be either autocratic or oligarchic and may be based upon the rule of a party or the military. States that have a blurred boundary between democracy and authoritarianism have sometimes been characterized as hybrid democracies, hybrid regimes, or competitive authoritarian states. And I'll read you two more definitions. The media can be of a monarchy. A monarchy is a form of government in which a person, a monarch, is head of state for life or until abdication. The political legitimacy and authority of the monarch may vary from restricted and largely symbolic constitutional monarchy to fully autocratic absolute monarchy and can span across executive, legislative, and judicial domains. And the media can be of oligarchy, ruled by few. Few and to rule command is a conceptual form of power structure which power rests with a small number of people. These people may or may not be distinguished by one or several characteristics, such as nobility, fame, wealth, education, or corporate, religious, political, or military control. So let's get back to what the intellectual standards include. So often the media fails the clarity test because they often fail to ask these questions. Could you elaborate? Could you illustrate what you mean? Could you give me an example? The media sometimes fails the accuracy test. How could we check on that? How could we find out if that is true? How could we verify or test that? Sometimes the media fails the precision test. Could you be more specific? Could you give me more details? Could you be more exact? Sometimes the media fails the relevance test. How does that relate to the problem? How does that bear on the question? How does that help us with the issue? Sometimes the media fails the depth, D-E-P-T-H question. Sometimes the media fails the depth test, D-E-P-T-H test. The questions are, what factors make this difficult? What are some of the complexities of this question? What are some of the difficulties we need to deal with? Sometimes the media fails the breadth test, B-R-E-A-D-T-H, and they fail to ask these questions. Do we need to look at this from another perspective? Do we need to consider another point of view? Do we need to look at this in other ways? And sometimes the media fails the logic test. Does all this make sense together? Does your first paragraph fit in with your last one? Does what you say follow from the evidence? Sometimes the media fails the significance test. Is this the most important problem to consider? Is this the central idea to focus on? Which of these facts are most important? And then sometimes the media fails the fairness test. Is my thinking justifiable in context? Am I taking into account the thinking of others? Is my purpose fair given the situation? Am I using my concepts in keeping with educated usage? Or am I distorting them to get what I want? The media has to understand all elements of thought reasoning. The media has to realize all reasoning has a purpose. The media has to realize all reasoning is an attempt to figure something out, to settle some question, to solve some problem. The media has to understand all reasoning is based on assumptions. The media has to understand that all reasoning is done from some point of view. The media has to understand that all reasoning is based on data, information, and evidence. The media has to understand that all reasoning is expressed through and shaped by concepts and ideas. The media has to understand all reasoning contains inferences or interpretations by which we draw conclusions and give meaning to data. Sometimes the media has to understand all reasoning leads somewhere or has implications and consequences. So according to Paul and Elder 1997, there are two essential dimensions of thinking that people need to master in order to learn how to upgrade their thinking. They need to be able to identify the parts of their thinking. They need to be able to assess their use of these parts of thinking. And I'm helping the media to develop its own media critical thinking model. So I wanted to say that this was going to be a very short episode because you fully understand how I feel about avoiding media as much as possible. But I also want to talk about celebrity culture. This time I'll do it with the help of my dictionary because I recognize that when it comes to celebrity culture, I have learned that I don't want to be the kind of person that entertains people but doesn't become involved in social justice. I want to use my fame to draw attention to constructive solutions and constructive resolutions. Because I can't just make people laugh. I can't just make people smile. I need to do more. Every day life is demanding more from me, asking more from me, preparing more for me, commanding more for me, suggesting more for me, recommending more for me, and pulling out more of my gifts to discover. Just when I think I'm done acknowledging all my gifts, life says every day you're going to learn gifts that you have that you never knew you had before. You're going to learn new gifts each day. In other words, you're going to learn the gifts. You're going to learn your gifts each day, the ones you already know and the ones you didn't know, but you're going to know day by day by day by day. You're gifted in this, I didn't know that. You're gifted in this and that, I didn't know this. And I've also learned with celebrity culture that I don't want to be the kind of celebrity that's too accessible to the point where I put myself in unnecessarily dangerous predicaments, but at the same time, I don't want to be an overly closed off celebrity either. I don't even see myself as a celebrity. I see myself as a servant leader who happens to be a public figure. And I've also decided that I want to make it right with people whenever I can. I want to put people on. I don't want to be I don't want to have the attitude of materialism. I want it and work hard to get it. All that I see is real. Unseen things are merely ideas and dreams. I don't want to be of individualism. I work hard for me. You work hard for you. I may make it. You may not. That's your problem, not mine. I don't want to be controlled by skepticism. Anything I'm not convinced about can't be important. Everything important to me, everything important to know, I can figure out. I don't want to be these kinds of ways. I don't want to be a dog-eat-dog world. I get yours and mine. You get yours, I get mine. Every person for themselves. Wild, wild west. Jungleness, wilderness. I don't want to be a save your own skin, watch out for number one type of person. I want to put people on. I want to help people out. I don't want to sabotage anybody, and I don't want anybody sabotaging me. I also recognize that I really want to be the type of public figure where I'm somebody that people want to welcome in their home, on their jobs. It's very much like being that family friend or family member that the party doesn't get started until I come through the door. And I'm the type of person that people want to feed and clothe and house and lodging and shelter and make sure that I have active social life and that I'm self-caring well and that I'm well. You know, I want to be the kind of person where people's homes is my lodging instead of hotels and motels. And that I live under other people's household rules. And other people's homes are basically my sanctuary, not religiously speaking. And, you know, I just want to be the kind of person where people protect me better than my bodyguards, even though I'm going to have bodyguards around for us all. I look at what I'm called to do, and let me tell you the truth about celebrity culture. This is the last thing I'll read to you within this episode. Celebrity culture lacks healthy attitude. Celebrity culture lacks emotional intelligence. Celebrity culture lacks emotional literacy. Celebrity culture lacks emotional self-regulation. Celebrity culture lacks gelatology. Celebrity culture lacks hope theory. Celebrity culture lacks impermanence. Celebrity culture lacks kindness. Celebrity culture lacks empathy. Celebrity culture lacks life skills-based education. Celebrity culture lacks moral development. Celebrity culture lacks people skills. Celebrity culture lacks personal boundaries. Celebrity culture lacks positive psychology. Celebrity culture lacks ruler. In other words, celebrity culture lacks the five key emotion skills of recognizing, understanding, labeling, expressing, and regulating emotions. The acronym RULER. Celebrity culture lacks social intelligence. Celebrity culture lacks social skills. Celebrity culture lacks soft skills. Celebrity culture lacks study skills. Celebrity culture lacks theories of multiple intelligences. Celebrity culture lacks vocational skills. The truth is that celebrity culture lacks decision-making. skills. Celebrity culture lacks problem-solving skills. Celebrity culture lacks creative thinking skills. Celebrity culture lacks critical thinking skills. Celebrity culture lacks lateral thinking skills. Celebrity culture lacks communication skills. Celebrity culture lacks interpersonal skills. Celebrity culture lacks self-awareness skills. Celebrity culture lacks assertiveness techniques. Celebrity culture lacks equanimity. Celebrity culture lacks resilience in coping with emotions and coping with stress. Celebrity culture lacks anger management. Celebrity culture lacks conflict resolution skills. Celebrity culture lacks professional boundaries. Celebrity culture lacks financial literacy. Celebrity culture lacks substance abuse prevention. Celebrity culture lacks literacy skills. Celebrity culture lacks numeracy skills. Celebrity culture lacks humor skills. Celebrity culture lacks psychosocial skills. Celebrity culture lacks transversal skills. Celebrity culture lacks citizenship skills. Celebrity culture lacks personal and professional development. Celebrity culture lacks lifelong learning. Celebrity culture lacks parenting skills. Celebrity culture lacks adulthood skills. Celebrity culture lacks childhood skills too. Celebrity culture lacks life skills. And within celebrity culture, has its trauma triggers, its trauma stimulus, its trauma stressors, its trauma reminders, its panic attacks, its flashbacks, its heart attacks, its post-traumatic stress disorder, its complex post-traumatic stress disorder, its traumatic coupling, its triggers, its trigger warnings, its content warnings, its acute stress disorder, its content ratings, its emotional dysregulation, its hypervigilance, its survivor guilt, and its repressed memories. But you're wondering, why do I want to be a public figure? Well, I'll tell you. I have learned that I'm not the norm in terms of celebrity culture. If anything, I am someone that people connect with well, because people are tired of people just talking and entertaining without helping them to solve any problems, issues, conflicts. And I think I'm not an attention whore. In other words, I'm not attention seeking. That may be a kinder way to put it. But also, I really do want to do something about the issues of the world. I don't want to just yap. I don't want to just, you know, put it in the form of jokes or dance, and people go home to the pain. Luther Vandross is right. A house is not a home. An apartment is not a home. A neighborhood is not a home. You don't feel home on the job. You don't feel home everywhere you go. I feel like it's so important for me to get involved in activism. Like, I want to be a global social justice warrior. Not just solving problems here, but everywhere. I want to be the kind of public figure that does rallies, street marches, strikes, sit-ins, even hunger strikes. I want to be the kind of public figure that is petitioning elected officials. I want to run and contribute to grassroots servant leadership political campaigns. I want to do healthy preferential patronage, even boycotts of businesses and demonstrative forms of activism. I want to promote impede direct or intervene in social, political, economic, or environmental reform with the desire to make positive changes in society toward a perceived greater good. I want to mandate building in a community. I want to include writing letters to newspapers. That's what I want to do. I want to do activism through the creation of art. I want to do simply how I want you to spend the money. I want to do economic activism. Like, I want to fight against the exploitation of humans in all forms. I want to do healthy collective action. I want to be a part of healthy social movements. And under legal pretenses, I want to do hacktivism, which is the use of computer-based techniques such as hacking as a form of civil disobedience to promote a political agenda or social change. With roots in hacker culture and hacker ethics, its ends are often related to free speech, human rights, and freedom of information movements. I really want to secure justice for us all. Like, I want to be a public figure in the human rights movement, a public figure in the environmentalism movement, public figure in animal rights movement. I want to do peace vigils, you know what I mean? I want to be a part of the climate justice movement too. And, I really do have a heart for political activism, political campaigning, lobbying, voting, petitioning, be a part of healthy public watchdogs. I want to be a healthy whistleblower. I want to do like judicial activism too. I want to do internet activism for real. I want to do economic activism, brand activism, consumer activism, shareholder activism. I want to do art activism, artivism. I want to do science activism. I want to be part of the activism industry without the greed and the vanity, you know, fundraising as well, and advocacy groups and advocacy, absolutely. You know, it's just important. This is the best way I can sum it up. I basically want to do proposing policy solutions, open up space for healthy public argumentation, being inclusive and engaging, target political systems because those systems are not responding to people's needs, participate in the agenda setting as they raise significant issues, question the way policy is administered. I want to do budget act advocacy, bureaucratic advocacy, express versus issue advocacy, health, environment, and climate change negotiations advocacy, ideological advocacy, internet interest group advocacy, legislative advocacy, mass act advocacy, media advocacy, special education advocacy. Yes. So these are the things I want to do. I want to be involved in information politics, symbolic politics, leverage politics, accountability politics, because these things are just what I think about each and every day. So I want to, you know, engage in civil disobedience when I absolutely need to. I'm called to be a community leader. Demonstrations, protests, political demonstrations, mass meetings, I want to do those type of things. And, you know, I just, I want to do media activism and peace activism, nonviolent resistance, peace camps, peace vigils, grassroots, community building, communities of practice, cooperative movements, you know what I mean? This is just what I care about. This is youth activism, slacktivism, you know, spiritual activism, helping out with student activism, being a healthy dissident in advocacy evaluation. So now you fully understand why I'm called to be a global icon. Lastly, celebrity culture has intellectual disregard for justice. They're intellectually unfair, they lack a sense of responsibility, they always see themselves as right when they're clearly wrong, and engage in self-deception. Celebrity culture has intellectual arrogance, regard themselves as the only truth, refuse to see the bigger picture, and they have a narcissistic state frame of mind. The celebrity culture has intellectual cowardice, afraid of giving consideration to ideas, feels threatened by ideas, fear shown to be wrong. Celebrity culture has intellectual self-centeredness, egocentric tendency to identify truth, focused on themselves all the time, unable to consider issues from all viewpoints. Celebrity culture has intellectual hypocrisy. Unconcerned with true honesty, project a positive image that's false, and they have a self-serving mind. Celebrity culture has its own intellectual conformity, like mirrors reflecting the belief systems, lack the intellectual skills and the incentives. Celebrity culture has its own intellectual laziness, tendency to give up quickly, low tolerance, cut themselves off from the many insights available. Celebrity culture has its own distrust for reason, feels threatened by good reasoning, are not adept at analyzing their views, and they live in an irrational world that they create in their hearts. So the celebrity culture has the traits of the disciplined mind, the traits of the undisciplined mind. And I want to say in closing that I have the traits of the disciplined mind. That's why I should be a global icon.